The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the events that precede that again. And as you notice, that's kind of a heavy topic with me this time. And we're going to have a little bit of fun because we're going to play with dates a little bit. We're going over, we're going to go back and revisit some old friends. It is good, oftentimes, and that old friend is going to be the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Give you a clue before we get started. You may open your Bibles there. And we're going to revisit that 12th chapter, and first we're going to synchronize our minds with the time and the position, that's to say the geographical location and the events that are taking or that are transpiring there. People have looked forward to that coming. And the parousia, as it is called in the Greek, for many, many, for hundreds of years. Actually, they were looking for it before Christ actually departed the second time. That was what caused Judas his problem. He wanted the kingdom to be established then so he could be the banker for the kingdom of God. And that's why he, I feel, betrayed Christ so that Christ would go ahead and stand up and order a band of angels and establish the kingdom, and he would be in good standing. So why can we be so assured that we're in a generation that this is that time? And it's really very simple. Because when you check notes in the history of Jerusalem and the so-called Holy Mountain, that's to say Mount Zion, and let your mind go back through all the years, Mount Moriah, you're still talking about the same mountain, all right? I'm talking about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice there of the supposedly of Isaac and then of the ram and so on and so forth, the crucifixion of Christ. And picture that mound, even if you would today, that has that huge rock below, that the Dome of the Rock is built there now that we have so much tension over. Never before, from Jeremiah 20, chapter 24, both the good and the bad fig baskets, have they actually established a nation called Israel or the house of Judah in Judea. It just hasn't happened. And naturally, when you read Jeremiah 24 very closely, and you understand that God was addressing not Judah, but the inhabitants of Judea, all right? When, that this would be established by the inhabitants, meaning both baskets, all right? So, you can rest assured with all the other prophecy, you're in that generation. It began in the year of our Lord, 1948. There can be no question about that. It has never happened before, but it happened then. I can remember very well when, through the United Nations, it was voted and the event came to pass. How exciting it was to know that prophecy was being fulfilled. Now, we know also that there, because of the bad figs, that there is another coming. The book of Daniel in the 9th chapter, the 27th verse, declares Daniel through Daniel's 70 weeks that the 69 weeks happened that brought about the birth of Christ, so forth. But then we have the 70th week, which there is a gap there because it speaks here of the desolator, that he would come in on the wings of desolation. And naturally, this was the little horn, which is to say the Antichrist, coming in the middle of the week, which means in a 3.5 year period. I'm just kind of familiarizing you with this so that we can just hit the ground running with this 12th chapter. We know from the book of Revelation, in the 9th chapter of Revelation, that Apollyon, or Abaddon, the that's Satan's name in Greek and Hebrew, given in that 9th chapter, where you couldn't be confused concerning that. That he would only have a 5-month period. So we know, as it is written in Mark 13, that for the elect's sake, God shortened the period. He shortened the entire 7-year period, both 3.5-year periods, down to a 5-month period. So, and that is, he even goes further than that. He allows us to know that this was the time of the locust. And that particular span of the locust life in that particular stage is May through September. So we have all those facts that are concrete. Does that mean we know that the Antichrist will come through that period? Most likely, but we're still watchmen and we still watch. It could happen at any time, if possible. What was the return of Christ himself? He said, hey, I'm coming back like a thief in the night, simply a figure of speech, meaning it's going to surprise everybody, because if you knew when the thief was coming, you wouldn't have been robbed. So that's why we watch. We will not be setting dates tonight. We're simply going to look at some dates, some events that you need to keep in your mind, you need to be informed of, because the wise in this generation are supposed to understand. That's biblical. We'll be covering that tonight. So, we read further in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation that the son of perdition, in another figure of speech, will only have 1 hour. So we know that that 1 hour is a 5-month period, literally. So then when we see a half-hour silence in heaven, we know what it's talking about. We know that it's talking about one of those 3.5-year periods that has been shortened to 2.5 months. All right? Just a little legwork for you there to bring you up to the very verse we're going to begin with. In that 9th chapter of Daniel, in the 27th verse that I quoted to you concerning the desolator coming in, which is the little horn, the son of perdition, it continues on then in that 70th week and into the 11th chapter of Daniel, which is an overlay for the book of Revelation. It just goes into a little more detail in this specific case. We're going to pick it up at the close of the 11th chapter, and you will all remember that you were explained very clearly how that the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate by the desolator set up. So we're going to pick it up in the 11th chapter, the 45th verse. That's the last verse of the chapter. And we ask a word of wisdom from our Father, and may we enjoy His word. This 45th verse reads, "And he shall plant the tabernacles," this is speaking of the Antichrist, or instead of Jesus, "he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain." Where is that? There's only one. Zion. Right where the Dome of the Rock sits today. The mosque that sits there. Mount Zion. That's the place that it's speaking of. It is well described in that 11th chapter. "Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." We know how he's going to come to his end. Paul makes that very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the actual return of Christ will bring him to his end. And I have no doubt Michael's going to cast him into the abyss. Anyway, a powerful angel will, and I'm sure it will be Michael. And that is how he comes to his end, because he is replaced by the true Christ and the millennium begins. Now note very carefully the next verse, though it's in another chapter, the thought still flows, it still continues. "And at that time," what time? It's the time he has his tabernacle on the holy mountain. That's to say the false Messiah is on earth and is established in that mountain, which means at the very end. "In that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." He is the prince that looks out for us. This is why I have no doubt in my mind that Michael is the one that incarcerates the false Messiah or Satan in the abyss. It's obvious, all right? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That is to say, everyone that has the seal of God in their forehead. But all of our people will be delivered from the deception of the diviners, the false prophets, false teachers, because the teacher of teachers will have returned. You can read of that further if you want to make just a little note. I don't want to go to it at this time. I feel it would digress from my point. Revelation chapter 11 lets you know exactly when he returns, because it is 3.5 days after the two witnesses die in the streets of Jerusalem. The paralyzing fear comes over all those that are present. Why? Because the true Christ returns and puts things in order. We will not have total peace until that true Prince of Peace returns to this earth. So, now, with your mind back to that time, at this time when he's planted that tabernacle, Michael casts him into the abyss, brings peace, that is to say, delivers our people. Now, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, I know many of you probably have had a problem with that verse. What is this that they're sleeping in the dust? And usually, I take the easy way out and say, where is it that Satan crawls on his belly all the days of his life? Is the dust. It is those that follow Satan are the dead. And that's a good, simple answer. But I think for you today, you need to go a little deeper than that. What's it talking about? So that you can clearly understand it, whereby you can explain it. Let's go to Isaiah, if we may, the great book of Isaiah. Isaiah 26. And in that Isaiah 26, I'm going to pick it up here about at the 13th verse, if I may, along the same subject, all right? Hang with me here a moment so that you can better understand what he's talking about by those that sleep or are dead in the dust. What are we talking about? Verse 13, O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. In other words, the Kenite Messiah, leadership, have had lords that brought that caused service in an international sense through the one world system or through specific governments, primarily through the world of economics, all right, as it applies to you today in part. All right? We have, who is the prince of, many might say, well, what are you talking about? Who is the prince of the air and the prince of this world? I'm talking about this world age. It's Satan, you know that. And that's who's been over this world for quite some time. He offered it to Christ, why? Because it was his right to give it, if Christ would worship him. Of course, that could not come to pass, all right? Now, 14, sharpen up for me. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Who are we talking about here? You see, when you translate from the Hebrew manuscripts into the English, this is why you must have a Strong's Concordance. And I'm sure that the majority of you in this room knows what the deceased are here. The word is Raphim. It's the giants, the fallen angels that are locked in chains for destruction. They're dead because they have no opportunity. That is why that it is written in the 11th chapter of the great book of Revelation, that at the moment those two witnesses rise and Christ returns, that 7,000 die instantly before the judgment, before anything else. 7,000 of Satan's little special angels. They will be present, for as it is written in Revelation 12:7, they are kicked from heaven by Michael when Satan is kicked out of heaven. It was for this reason that Paul said, you ladies, keep Christ over your head because of the angels. They're coming back. They're going to be here. Do you have to fear them? Of course not. You have the seal of God in your mind, and they can't deceive you. You know what's going to happen, and that's why it's important that we refresh our minds and focus on events, even at this time, whereby you're not deceived. 15, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation, two times for emphasis, thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far into the unto the ends of the earth. It gets larger every day. That is to say that the nation of the sealed, a small family, becomes a whole nation. Because those that follow God will be complete and withhold, or they will not be alive. All right, they will not have eternal life. They'll go into the lake of fire. They'll either be with Him or they will not be, ultimately. Verse 16, Lord, in trouble have they visited Thee. They poured out a prayer, let's say a little secret speech. When thy chastening was upon them. When you disciplined them, they would sit down and just cry out a little prayer to you. Who's the first one you talk to when you know you are in trouble? Alright? Got it? That's the only time most people talk to Him. Oh, God, get me out of this and I'll never do it again. Okay? Pilots do that a lot. Okay? In thunderstorms. It just comes so natural. Okay? Verse 17. Like as a woman with child, they that draweth near to the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pain. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We act like that to Him. Right? When we really get caught in trouble. 18. We have been with child and we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. It's kind of sad in a way that when man tries to make his own method of salvation, I don't care if he wants to call it's done in the church. If it isn't according to God's plan, it's false. And it must be called false. It's that white wall we were talking about in an earlier lecture. It's not good. It causes false hope. It's an insurance policy that you cannot cash in on. You might as well write cancel on it. I'm talking about the rapture doctrine. That creates false hope and misleads many people into serving others than God Himself, having others over Him. Only those that are found written in the book, having the seal of God in their forehead, will not participate in the rule and reign that we found mentioned in that verse, the last verse of the 11th chapter of Daniel. Thank God you're not going to be there. You may be there, but you're not going to be deceived, all right? Now, in other words, what he's saying here, the world is in sad shape. It never could it work out one little salvation. Why? Because the Savior does the saving. That's Christ. The world can't. That's why you have to look to Him. You're not going to find salvation in this world. Now the reason we came here, verse 19, sharpen up for me. The dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. The dead body of my people shall arise at that time. Out of what? Spiritual death, deception, having been misled. At what time? At the time that God destroys the Rephaim, the Nephilim, the fallen angels, and imprisons Satan. The dead men shall live together with my dead body, or the dead bodies of my people, they shall arise. They're going to awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. This is how you explain dwelling in the dust, so that people don't think, oh, we buried Grandpa, he's right out there in the dirt, and they're going to dig him up someday. Well, they're not. He's not really there. Grandpa never deserved being there. He's with the Father, all right? He's talking about spiritual dead and fallen angels that are even called death. Death is a proper name for them. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Now, I want all of you to do me a favor. Not now, but I want you to make a note of that word dead right there. I want you, when you get home or to your room, wherever you might have your Strong's Concordance, and I want you to see what this word dead means, what it really is in the Hebrew manuscripts. The earth cast out the Rephaim, the fallen angels. That's what it's talking about. They will never be again, meaning it takes us to that point in time when the two witnesses rise from the streets in Jerusalem. It just tagged that date to it. That's when the event transpires, okay? Verse 20, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. In other words, wait until Christ leads you. Many people wonder, how am I going to know? Hey, he's got your phone number, okay? He knows where you are if you have the seal of God in your forehead. He knows how to make contact, and he will at that time. What time? Well, let's read on. I have said it was at the time of the very end. Let's document that, okay? 21, always hide in Christ. That's what I'm telling you. 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, woo, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. There will not be one murderer that God will not know and say, come here, boy. There are no unsolved mysteries with him. Okay? None. And when is he going to do that? He said, here he's coming. He's going to do it. All right? So, that's why you want to be under his wing. That's why I'm being very careful to fix the time so that you understand when the dead are cast out. It's not talking about our relatives passed on. It's talking about when our people awake to the truth and realize how they've been had at the same time that Satan and his little angels, the angels destroyed forever and he cast into the pit. Now let's cover that real good. Let's go right on into the 27th chapter a minute. In that day, what does that mean? I don't have to tell you, you know. In that day, the day we're talking about, okay? With his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Isn't that marvelous? You know who the dragon is, don't you? You know who the serpent is, that old serpent, the devil, called Lucifer. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 20, verses 1? It'll identify him for you. Or you can identify him in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 8. That old devil called the serpent, called the dragon. He's going to put him in the pit. And Michael, I feel, will do it. But it's Christ's return. So, never underestimate the ability of your people to question you and then you be allowed or have the answer to that sleeping in the dust. Because there is nobody, nobody asleep in the dust. All right? We have the Rephaim. They're called the dead. Yes, they're very real. But it's talking about them. And our people that are dead spiritually, bunch of deadheads that are not interested, don't have time to listen, and have been caught up into the net and the web of the prince of the air, seem to love it and enjoy it, don't you? Verse 2, in that day, seeing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. That's a kind of an idiom that means it is so rosy, it is just lovely. What a sight. And it's going to be, beloved. When we see correction, and divine correction, that is to say, on this world, where the true king of the world takes back over, the Lord, I the Lord do keep it. I will water it every moment. What have you got to worry about? I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Beloved, trust Him. He watches over you when you have faith in Him to help you fulfill your obligations and duties as a sealed one. That means to have God's truth in your mind. You got a brain there. You study His Word. It falls off. It gets in there. Plus the Holy Spirit with unction places it there called understanding. Then He begins to watch over you night and day. And the first time you hear a big clap of thunder, just get hold of yourself. You got a right to be afraid of lightning. Hey, it'll kill you. You got to use common sense. But don't you dare. You better not ever let me hear of you being afraid of something spiritually. Because that says to me automatically, you don't have faith to know that He that is in you is greater. That we crush serpents. We step on snakes. We destroy them. Because we are the servants of the King. You don't have to fear anything spiritual. I don't care even if it's supernatural. God gave you power over all your enemies. Naturally, if you go through a dangerous part of town, you use common sense. Be careful. But you don't have to be afraid of anything Satan can cast at you. As a matter of fact, I would rather have it that he was afraid of you. I'm going to tell you what, I really don't think his little angels enjoy having to make a trip to this old pastor, because they're going back with skinned knees, busted heads, and 13-size boots make a good propulsion agent, you know? I mean, don't let them do it to you. And there were people who say, well, you don't understand. They put a spell on me. Don't give me that junk. They would love it if you thought they put a spell. You break those chains by having faith in the living God and put a spell on them, the love of Christ, to straighten them out. All right? We have the victory. All right? For fury is not in me. Who would set the briars? That's the, I'm not angry at my loved ones. That's what he said. Israel intended there. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I'd go through them. I would burn them together. Well, spiritually, you can today also, beloved. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Anybody plots something against you, hey, God's going to crush them if you have the faith. Or let him take hold. That's even let the enemy take hold of my strength. It's God speaking. That he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Of course, that means in the millennium. On that first day of the millennium, which is when? It's what we're talking about. The day that the two witnesses rise from the street of Jerusalem, that holy mountain is the day that Christ returns and we defeat Satan totally, 100%, for the moment. That is to say, he goes in the pit, and then, boy, can we teach. We got 1,000 years to lay it on their highs. And that's going to be fun, and I'm ready for it. One of them goes to sleep on you. Boy, they're going to learn discipline, all right? And while I'm at that point, before we go back into Daniel, do become a disciplined Christian. You know, in the Marine Corps, the reason we were a can-do bunch of people was because we were disciplined spiritually and mentally. That may shock some of you, but that's true. They had us brainwashed to the point that we could do anything. We thought we could, and we did. Discipline will do that for you. Never cut bait and run, unless there's 20 of them, all right? And you got a faster boat, all right? And it's all right to cut. You know what I'm saying. Just discipline yourself. Make yourself be a good servant to the Father. It is so important in your life that you learn to practice faith, because that's where your blessings come from. That's the chute. Think of a laundry chute. That's a chute from heaven that brings blessings from God into your life is faith. If you don't have it, you ain't going to get them, honey. They're not coming. Well, I would have talked to him, but I know he wouldn't hear me anyway. Forget it. You're not worthy. He has given us power over all the enemy agents of the world spiritually. And we can't trust Him, have faith in Him. He created the earth. He sent His Son. He fulfilled His Word. And we can't trust Him. What kind of person are you? Discipline yourself in faith and truth. And in service, I repeat, in service to Him, and you'll always be blessed. Okay, so there we see the time. What I'm saying to you, and we spent a great deal of time on that second verse. That verse not only identifies for you who those are that are asleep in the dust, but it is your second witness or third witness to the time sequence we're talking about. We're talking about when Satan is cast into the abyss and his little angels destroyed, all right? That's the time we are speaking of. Back to Daniel, if we may. Let's go back to that 12th chapter. Daniel chapter 12. Let's pick it up with the third verse. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Who are the wise? Your teachers. That's you. You that plant seed to others to plant and turn people's head in the right direction, to show them the truth. What a gift you give them. How that pleases your Father. Verse 3. Verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. That means many shall be apostatized. They will fall away. Many are going to be lost. And knowledge shall be increased. But as time goes on, knowledge shall increase, but many are going to run to and fro. Who is it that runs to and fro? Why would I say that? Remember the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7? God asked Satan, "Where have you been?" What did he say? Running to and fro. on the earth, all right? So many will fall away to his little to and fro-ness, all right? But don't you dare, all right? You be wise and you stand firm. You don't have to be afraid of him. That's the point. Okay? Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. How long? What's the question, friend? How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Boy, there's the question that has been in man's mind that even the thunder doesn't give us, all right? We just keep wondering and wondering, when is that going to be? Well, now stop and think a minute. He just got through saying that the wise would at least understand, which means the season. Now, we are wise and we do understand the season of the fig tree, all right? We're that close. We're that on. We know at least what generation. But he's going to be a little more specific, and I want you to take a second look at it, all right? How long is it going to be? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he had held, when he had held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, swore by God himself, that it should be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years is 3.5. And when he, that's to say the Antichrist, or instead of Jesus, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Well, I think that he will be so successful at scattering the power of the so-called holy people, that is to say, people that claim to be his children, followers, because of what? His miracles, his wonders. And I'm going to tell you something. If you just think he's coming down here to pop popcorn and serve it, you better wake up, friend. He's going to do some religious things that is, you're going to stop and say, hey, woo, 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 woo. That is so impressive, I don't hardly know what to think about it. And your mind starts wavering when you see supernatural acts, such as lightning and fire flying from heaven at this magnificent snap of the fingers, and people running to be the first to get in on the good thing. Don't miss out. And there you stand. I mean, this guy is supernatural and he can do anything he wants to, it would seem. And you're sandbagging. You're a little old bitty human being. And you're over here with the whole world whoring after him. And you're going to stand over here and say, I hope I'm right. You better not say, I hope I'm right. You better know you're right, and you do. Because never forget this, you're not just one little individual standing there. There's an angel standing there with you. It's the same Son of God that walked with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. You're never alone. Did he not say, day and night? He's not a part-time employee. All right? He's with you 24 hours a day. That certainly has no reflection on part-time employees. They're wonderful. I'm just saying God is with you day and night. He's not going to let you down. So what I'm saying is that's why you must discipline yourself to absorb the Word and know, absorb the fact, there's going to be some magnificent things done by this creature. He's really going to be putting on the dog. And some of the greatest names in religion, doctor of this and doctor of that, will say, is it not wonderful that our Heavenly Father has returned to this earth and now we see these wonderful things happening? Newspapers, television, thrills to death, peace to the world at last, all debts canceled. What a time to live. Discipline yourself. It's coming, my friend. I know I'm talking a great deal about this at this particular Passover. Believe me, discipline yourself. Because we're coming into that time that you're going to see these events come to pass at the rate prophecy is being fulfilled today. The New World Order. One worldism. The whole world struggling for peace. And every war we have going is a religious war or skirmish. Okay? Now, back to the thought. Daniel told to seal the word up till the end, okay? Did we get that ninth verse? Yeah. Okay, and he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end," when these events come to pass naturally. Verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Not maybe, not perhaps, shall understand. Verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now first, let's take the daily sacrifice. What was it? It was the daily offering called the daily oblation that took place every day, and Christ became the offering for one and all times. Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to make a note of that. The offering for one and all times. He did away with the daily sacrifice. So when was the daily sacrifice taken away? You're all familiar with it. Let's call it the year 33 A.D., the year Christ was crucified. All right? Give or take. Let's just, for the sake of saying, say 33 A.D., all right? So we know that when was the abomination of desolation set up to be 1,290 days? Well, think about it a moment. We considered and reasoned with ourselves, could it have been when the nation declared itself a nation again? If you reanalyze this and look, where was he going to plant his tabernacle? On the holy mountain. It's something you must consider, and I'm not saying this is correct, but the holy mountain wasn't taken until the year 1967. The Six-Day War. June of 1967. Many of you remember the picture of the Judeans rushing to the Great Wailing Wall. First time they had been there. June 1967. So I think we need to take a look and analyze. So, you want to play with some numbers for a minute? You know, this, this blackboard in my study looked pretty big. But, in here it looks a little small. I don't know which color is going to do the best on this. We're just going to have a little fun here with numbers, and if let's put it right there. I think this can everybody see that? I don't think so. Can you? Okay. If not, we'll set, you can come up later and copy it. We'll leave it around. Well, you're all familiar with it anyway. Okay. We're just going to have a little fun with it. Okay, let's just say, for the sake of saying, I hope this shows up. That was not writing too good. If it was set up when the holy mountain was taken, that would be the year. If we assume, in other words, many think that probably Christ could have been crucified in 1927 because he was born not the year 1, but 2 B.C., and some say 4 B.C. So dates don't mean all that much. We're just using this as an example to go by, okay? We're going to say that he was crucified in the year 33, and I'm going to walk to the center of the board a little bit. 3 from 7 is 4, isn't it? And 3 from 6 is 3. And we've still got 19, and let's see, carry naught, and naught over is naught. And naught, naught. Alright. We got 1,934 years. Well, now that's then how long 1,290 of Daniel's days are. Right? Sure. So all we have to do is divide 1290 into 1934 of our years, and we come up with 1 point, don't forget your point, 499. With a calculator, you can, if you want, I'm just going to just throw this in for you that like to tickle the ivories, okay? Keyboards, all right? You would have to take, if you were going to do this accurately, you would have to take April the 7th of the year 33, and you would have to use the date June the 7th, 1967, which means you would have to make this a point 1967.5, because it was half of the year. And, well, you don't need a math class. You know what I'm talking about. You like to tickle the keys a little bit. Well, have at it. Okay, so then let's read one more verse here. What does it say? What are we supposed to do with that equation? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Okay? But verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. In other words, your lot's going to be with the Father, and you're going to be all right. So what we want to do then is we want to multiply 1,335 times this common denominator, and you're going to come up with 2,001.46. All right? 2,001.46. Interesting, what? Let's play with numbers a little more. If 67 were to be that year, 1900... and 67, and we were to read that that generation would not pass away, and a generation was 40 years, 7, 6 and 4 is 10, carry over a naught 1, and a naught, and a naught, and we got 2007. Ooh, but wait, we have a problem. Time has been shortened from 7 years down to 5 months. So, we need to take away six and a half years. And then we come up with, what? We got one half, right? No, one and one. Is one and one half, right? We got 1.5, okay? 2,001.5. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. That's wrong, isn't it? It's zero, it's not, huh? Let's make this one and not. Okay? Now we got it. I've always got A's in math. I really did. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Now, the reason you can't trust numbers, see, I want to get you all pumped up, and then I'm going to take the valve stem out. Okay. What about this? Could we be sure then, you know, now some people would say, ah, grannies, that's it. It's going to happen in the year 2000, just as sure as the century turns. You know, and there were a group up north somewhere that said it was going to be the 31st of March. And they don't know about April Fool's Day yet, okay? But anyway, there they are. But what I'm going to tell you is, what about this? Should this be shortened? Well, it should, really, shouldn't it? But you just told me it was going to be the 2001. Now what are you telling me? We don't know, do we? So, but let's have fun, all right? Let's have some more expertise on the keyboards here. And let's subtract 6.5 years here. I'm going to make it 646. That way we'll 6 from 11 and carry over. Is the end going to be in 1995? I don't know. But I think it's fun, all right? Because, you know, regardless of what happens, I like to... Doesn't it feel good to consider yourself wise? Okay? Now, he said the wise would understand, and I've tried to make this so clear that nobody could mess up. All right? You want to see one more funny thing before I close and maybe take a few questions? Let's take some of... Let me go back to my notes. My math without this isn't too good on this one, I know, coming up here. Let's take the 2,300 days of Daniel. You'll all remember that. It's going to take that many days from the time the sanctuary is taken under until it's cleansed. Well, if we take Daniel's common denominator, 1.449, and we multiply that, we're going to come up with 3,447, and then we're going to take away 1,433 of those because that's the year Joshua died and the sanctuary got contaminated, all right? It got dirty. So, we come up with 2,014. But don't forget, what did it say? It would be cleansed by then. How long does it take to cleanse it? Well, first of all, it's been shortened, right? So we can take 7 off of there and come up with 207, and we got the same thing we got here. Well, now in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, it says there are going to be 7 months cleansing the field of Hamath. Well, in the Hebrew, that could be argued. Okay? 7 periods of time. If you took another 7 off of that one instead of 7 months, which I could say it should be at least thought of, considered, you'd still have the same thing. It'd be the year 2000. So what I'm telling you, God has no room to waste in His Bible. All right? He put these dates and this formula here for a purpose, and that was that you would be wise, that you would be a watchman. No one knows when the end is. And so help me, if one of you send me a letter saying, Pastor Murray was setting dates, I'll get you. I mean bad. Okay. I'm not setting dates. But we must consider these things. It's important enough that I have used one whole lecture for this Passover for this very purpose of showing you that the trap is already loaded. It could spring at any time. But first, things must happen first. That's why it's important that you discipline yourself into keeping things in focus, as we discussed in the last lecture. When it begins happening, it's going to happen pretty fast. But by knowing these things and the order, the chronological order in which they happen, you're not going to have any trouble keeping up. And, beside that fact, you don't have to be afraid of anything spiritually. I want to qualify, just in case somebody's not hearing me when I say that. You do have to be afraid of little old puny man, all right? He'll hurt you if you don't use common sense. You know, nobody likes to have to fight, but if you do, you know, but God says you work those kind of problems out, I'll kind of show you where to go and everything, but if you don't use common sense, you can get in trouble. But spiritually speaking, I'm speaking of demons, evil spirits, Satan himself, or any of his angels. You don't have to fear them. All you have to do is say, out in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Christ. Anything negative in your life, your family, discipline yourself in using that. When things begin to fall apart, it would seem, or you're having a bad day, or do you know that 90% of the time Satan brings depression on? He just loves to get you down. And it seems like some people just love to do it, so they say, oh, God, I'm having a bad day today. You know? Well, don't do that. Every day's a good day in the Lord. Okay? Every day. Why? He gives us power to defeat our enemies. Our main enemies are not man. They're our brothers. Some of them may be misled. We have to help them. That's why we don't like to have to pop them. But if you do, you do. You know what I mean? You pray for them. If they straighten up, it's all right. If they don't straighten their act up, you know, that's it. You know, you treat them accordingly. They learn that way. Hey, I'm an old Marine Corps sergeant. I know how to handle men, all right? I do, and teach discipline. But I hope you understand what I'm saying in that. Use common sense. It's going to get worse in the cities. It's going to get worse in the countries. But you don't have to worry about it. God gave you a mind and wisdom that you can handle it, protect your families. But be good servants of Him, because you don't have to be afraid of the devil himself. All right? Just scoot him out. So, I had fun doing this. I hope you had fun doing it. And it lets you know when the end's going to be. Oh, my. Well, it's fun. We are supposed to use those. God, as I stated, God did not waste time. Okay. I love you a big bunch. We're going to close this out and maybe allow a few questions here before bedtime. Just remember this. If you discipline yourself in His Word, when things happen, you don't have to stop and think about it, you know? It's when you hesitate and have to say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? Many times you get whacked out. But by disciplining yourself in the Word, you flow with it and you know what you're supposed to do. Listen real closely. There's a clue in this. If you're not loaded with the Word, it's very difficult for God to cue you. Do you understand what I'm saying? One that is loaded with the Word, it's real easy for God to cue that person with the Holy Spirit on what's supposed to be taught or happen or done. Discipline yourself. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being Your servants. Thank You, Father, for the safe journey of these that are here from all over the country. Be with them. Bless them, Father. Father, thank You for Your Word. As we meditate on it, as we try to understand it, we simply ask Your blessings in touching and giving us that understanding. Thank You in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ.